Good evening, folks. Thank you. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. And thank you again to Adrian and to Johnny for the very warm word of welcome. It's certainly been a joy to be with you here today and to fellowship with you here in Sinfield. And we will continue to uphold you in our prayers for you as a fellowship, especially for our brother Stephen and his family, and for what lies ahead for them and for you as a fellowship. And be assured of our prayers. And may you know God's leading and guidance, and especially in the days ahead. And may God continue to bless you as you serve Him here together. Now, Adrian did this morning say to me, he said, "Jonathan, will you, or Johnny or Jonathan, if my mum's here, it's Jonathan. You can call me Johnny any other times." I can remember my school friends when we lived in Rough Island, when you used to use the old telephone, the ordinary telephone line, before texting and all those things. And they used to sometimes, you wouldn't think we Jean Ray could be like that, but you know, sometimes my good friends would ring and say, "Is Johnny there?" My mum used to say, "No, Johnny's not here, but Jonathan's here." But I don't think she'd be too worried about that these days. Adrian asked me to share a word of testimony, and that's what I'm going to do. And on the way home, I said to Carolina, "I've been asked to share my testimony tonight." And maybe because there's no singers, and then obviously share maybe a gospel message from the Word of God. And Carolina says, "Well, if you start sharing your testimony, there'll be no time for anything else, because it's maybe quite long." But we'll see how we get on, folks. But before we go any further, we need God's help, don't we? I certainly need God's help. And let's just bow our heads and still our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we realize that we need you again. Father, we can't do anything without you. And Father, now we have this privilege to open up your Word, to share testimony, to share what you've done in a life. And we realize, Father, as we begin this, Father, that all the honor, the glory is yours and yours alone. And thank you, Father, for your so great salvation plan through sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to go all the way to that Roman cross, to shed his precious blood so that we could have our sins forgiven and know what it is to have everlasting life, because our Savior died and paid the price for sin once and for all. But we know on the third day our Savior rose again. And we know that we have forgiveness at the cross. We know that sin was defeated at the cross. And we know at the empty tomb so was death. And we serve a risen Savior. Father, we just pray for anyone we're meeting tonight that maybe doesn't know you as Savior. We pray your Spirit will do the work that only He can. And Father, if there's anyone in our meeting who is here and is faithfully coming out to church, but no, deep down inside, they're maybe not just right in a relationship with you, that you'd be pleased even to speak into their hearts tonight. Bless our time, Father. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So folks, what I'm going to try and do, we'll see how we go for time. I realise your fellowship's on tonight. I was 5 minutes over this morning and apologise for that. And again, my wife is my best critic, and she keeps me right, as a good pastor's wife does. And she likes to remind me if I go over my time and to try and keep my time and all those things. And I'm certainly thankful for my dear wife. And I'll tell you in a few moments of how we met and that story. But although Adrian's put me under pressure, I have to share it now tonight. But folks, I just want to maybe, I'll start with my testimony, and then if there's time, we'll turn to the Word of God. But I just was thinking about what could I read as I consider my testimony. And it's simply this. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Folks, I want to start tonight by saying that I had the privilege of being born into a Christian family. Most of the folks here know who my father was, Edward Ray, who also was a pastor for many years, and no stranger to folks here in Sinfield. I was born in 1974 in the county of Fermanagh, and the reason for that was my dad was in the RUC and was serving there, and that's why that was the place of my birth.
I am one of three. I have an older brother and an older sister, and I'm the baby of the family. And my brother and sister are redheads, and they used to traumatize me as a child because I had blonde, dirty, fair hair. When originally was blonde, and then it went to dirty, fair. Now I have no hair, but that's another story. I can remember they used to always wind me up and say, "How can you be part of the family? We've got red hair, and you've got blonde hair, so you mustn't be part of the family. You must be adopted." And I can remember one occasion going to my mum, all traumatized, saying, "Mummy, tell me the truth. Am I adopted?" And then she got out an old picture. My mum didn't have too many pictures of herself when she was younger. And she showed me a picture of herself when she was younger. And I had the same hair as my mum. So that put that all to rest. My father was originally a Ballyclare man. And my mum was originally from Tigers Bay in Belfast, Mount Collier Avenue. As I said, my dad was serving the RUC during the Troubles. And of course, down in Fermanagh, there was a lot of Republican activity. There was a lot of danger in that particular job. And on one occasion, I was only a baby in a cot at the time. I don't remember nothing, but Dad didn't tell us about it until we were much older. But two IRA gunmen came to the house to shoot my father just because he was an RUC. But the Lord protected us in an unbelievable way. And that's how God works. I'm very thankful that God did protect us on that occasion, and my dad didn't have to do anything, because they came to try to do it secretly and to surprise and to be an attack that wasn't ready or being waited for. And in our home, we always had the norm of the curtains are pulled and the lights are on. And by the way, I still do that to this day. Carolina can tell you, I'll never have the lights on in our home unless the curtains are pulled. And that was a security measure, because when the lights are on, if you have the curtains pulled, people can see easily into your home. And my brother and sister, they shared a bedroom at the time. There's only a year apart. They were just children. And I was in the cot as a baby in mum and dad's bedroom. And the two gunmen came. And this particular night, the curtains were not pulled in my brother and sister's bedroom. And that's the providential hand of God at work. Because my sister said to my brother, "Would you go and close the curtains? I'm afraid to get up in the dark." And he said, "I will not," just to wind her up. So that night he didn't pull the curtains and they fell asleep. And my sister would talk for many years about a nightmare about two men going past the window. She always talked about the white teeth. And she screamed. And she thought it was just a nightmare. And she always would quote this nightmare. And we just were left at that until we were older and we could understand more. What actually happened was, because their attempt was foiled, that they turned and they ran and got back into their car. And she talked about, you heard feet running away, steps, a door opening, a door closing, and the car going off fast, skidding out of the driveway. And later on, Dad told us what really happened that night, that it was an attempt on his life, but yet God's hand of protection was upon him. We moved from Fermanagh to Whitehead, back up to County Antrim, where my dad was part of CID. He was a detective in the Criminal Investigation Department. And we attended Ballyclare Baptist Church. My dad was also an elder in that church. And that's why I read Romans 10 at the very beginning. You know, from a very young age, because I was brought into a Christian home, I was sent to Sunday school. I went to church from a very, very young age. And I went to the children's meeting in Ballyclare Baptist. And I knew and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, over and over and over again from different people who surrounded me in that church environment. And I thank God for that. My older sister, Sarah, was a Christian, and I can remember on one occasion I'd stolen my neighbour's toy who lived next door to us in Strade, because we went from Whitehead to the village of Strade, and I was 5 years of age in 1979, and my sister told me, she said, "Jonathan, that's wrong, you cannot steal, it's wrong to steal." And she went on to explain very simply, I was only a child of five, but before God that was sin and that was wrong, and how I needed to ask God to save me, to forgive my sin and to come into my life. And I can remember very, very clearly that time in my sister's bedroom that I asked the Lord to save me. And I believe with all my heart, even as a child of five, I believe God saved me. And I know that's the day and our God saved me. I simply cried out to God as a child to forgive my sins and to save me, and he did. My dad was a CID detective, as said, in Ballyclare. He was a senior detective. But God had been dealing with my dad for a long time about going into ministry. He was a lay preacher. He was a youth leader in Ballyclare Baptist. He was an elder there. But after Lord dealing with him over many, many years, he eventually gave in to God's call and God's leading, God's guidance, and God's guiding hand. And he felt the call to go into ministry, and he came out of the police. And that meant we had to move from Strayed to go back to Ballyclare to Gran and Granda's old two-up, two-down terraced house in Avondale Drive in Ballyclare. And we went from having quite a healthy and plentiful life financially to having nothing, because my dad went into the Baptist College, mum wasn't working, all of a sudden there was no income, there was no financial income into the home. Things changed. And it was a change for my mum and dad, it was a change for all of us. But I'm going to tell you this, as my dad went into the Baptist College in Sandown Road, one thing we've seen over and over and over again was God's provision for us as a family. I can remember my mum, my memories of my mum, she's not in the same place today. Sadly, my mum's health and everything else has changed greatly. But mum was always a prayer warrior, and I thank God for her example. My mum was always on her knees, and when my dad would be away preaching, I would often come into the house, and I would wonder where mum is, and I would go round the whole house looking for mummy. Couldn't find mummy, and I'd be going in shouting round the house because I wanted to tell her my business. As the guys here know this morning, I like to talk. And I couldn't find her. And then eventually went back to the living room and opened up the door a wee bit more in darkness. And then all of a sudden I seen wee legs. And then opened up the door and put on the light. And there you see my mum. She was on her knees beside the sofa. And she was praying for dad as he was away doing ministry, as he was away preaching. That's my mum. Wee prayer warrior. And I love that. And always did love that about her. And remember when there was a situation and all of a sudden the electric bill came in and you, there's no money. And mummy just would get down on her knees and pray about it, and so would dad. And then all of a sudden, mummy said the letterbox went, and she went, and there was an envelope, and inside it, she hadn't told anybody about the amount, but inside it, there was exactly the amount of money she needed for the electric bill. There's times where the cupboards were bare, and as a mother, you want to provide for your children. You want to feed your children. You want to look after your husband. You want to look after your children. And there's nothing in the cupboards. And all of a sudden the doorbell would go, and maybe it was some brother or sister in Christ from the church, and said, we were out doing our groceries, and for whatever, the Lord just laid in my heart to buy groceries for yous too. One time dad was going back and forth to Belfast, they always had ramshackles of cars that were falling apart. And his car gave up the ghost, as dad used to always say, just give up the ghost. And he was without a car, he needed to get to Bible college. And a brother in the Lord came into the house and sat down and had a set of keys with him. And as after he was talking to him a while, he just got up to go. And my dad says, you've left your keys. And he says, they're not my keys, they're your keys. I was at the auctions today and I've got you a wee car. The Lord put it in my heart. And that wee runabout car, that wee rental done for years. And he only bought it for a few hundred pounds. That's the Lord. Then dad got the call to Pastor Clock Baptist in Ballymena. And then we were on the move again. We moved to Ballymena. And it was during that time that I went through the waters of baptism in 1986. So teenage years for me, because this is the testimony I want to share. Teenage years for me were fine generally. It's not easy sometimes being a pastor's son or a pastor's daughter. There's a lot of pressure that goes with that. And things were fine, but then dad got a call to Rathfrylam Baptist. And then we moved, and I was going into third year at that time and attended Rathfrylam High School. And it wasn't too long after maybe a couple of years being there that things began to change in my life. There was a lot of pressure from the guys I studied with to go out with them at the weekend or to go out with them and party and to go out and drink. Initially I said no to it, but then eventually began to give in to that pressure. And also too, another thing that used to really bug me, and the Lord knows this, and I've talked often about it to my dad, was the fact that dad was never home. He was always out pastoring everyone else, looking after his flock, but he was never at home to be with us. And I resented that. It was only mummy that was there to deal with everything. Dad was never there. He was always looking after everyone else. And that started to stir up in my heart, and it began to become a problem in my heart. And I began to rebel, and I, out of my own free will, began to rebel against my mum and my dad, but also against God. And I began to do things that I shouldn't be doing, to my shame. Drinking and smoking and other things. Attending places I shouldn't have been at. And I'm going to tell you something here. See, whenever the devil tempts you, and you go out into the world, because I see there's young people here tonight. It's so easy for you just to fall away. Or it's so easy for you to begin to fade away in your faith. Or in other words, sometimes the turning your back on God is not something that happens overnight. It takes time. and it's a slow process. And sometimes you're not even aware, you begin to do and go to places you shouldn't. But the devil's not going to give up, he's going to keep on trying. I'm going to tell you this as well, and I say this, for a while I was happy in my sin. I was enjoying all the world had to offer. And it lasted for about a year and a half of my teenage life. Young people here tonight, you may be here tonight looking the part. Before your family it may seem that everything is right. They don't think the speaker tonight is going to come down on your heart. He's going to speak to you from his heart. And I'm going to tell you this. The world has plenty to offer. The devil is the great deceiver. He knows how to tempt us because it's what's attractive to us and we're drawn towards. If you're being tempted, if you're being drawn away from the things of God, can I encourage you? Can I challenge you? Do not give in. Don't turn your back on God. Don't give up on God. Because God will never ever fail you or let you down. Because even when I was away from the Lord never left my side. And he hadn't given up on me. You see, in Rephaelim Baptist at that particular time, the young people all began to backslide. Rephaelim Baptist is very much like Saintfield Baptist. I'm not saying it's the same with the young people tonight. Don't misunderstand it, but you can understand what I'm saying. A conservative Baptist church. And a lot of our young people were at church every Sunday, but the reality is our lives during the week weren't exactly right. It's not that we were all together in our sin. It's individually in our own friendship groups that we all began to go away from God. But yet we were still at church on Sunday. We still attended the YF. The only thing is, I must admit that I could never sit at the Lord's table during that whole time because I knew within my heart, how can I be at the table if I'm not right with God? And I never stayed for the table during that time. But I didn't stop going to church. But here's the thing. And this is to encourage us all tonight. In Rephaelim Baptist Church, unbeknown to me, we had our midweek on a Wednesday night. But on a Thursday night, there were some of the folks in the church were really burdened about the situation of the young people. And they used to meet in the pastor's vestry. And there was between half a dozen to eight people used to meet on a Thursday night. And it wasn't just for a week or two. This was done over quite a period of time. In fact, I could say probably for more than a year when I was away from the Lord. And in that prayer meeting, there was tears. There was tears before God. People who were pleading before God to draw the young people back to himself. There's people who are praying for me and I didn't even know it. That's why I'm saying, dear friend here tonight, brother and sister in Christ here tonight, if you're praying for that loved one who's not saved, if you're praying for that family member who's turned their back on God, can I encourage you, please do not give up praying for them. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep loving them. And keep praying that God will bring them back to himself, that he'll draw them back to himself. I thank God for that prayer meeting that I knew nothing about. Because I tell you this, it was older people concerned for the younger people. And on one occasion I've been out drinking with my friends like many other nights. But this particular night something happened. God brought me under deep conviction. And all I just could feel it within my heart was God was saying to me, "You are mine. You need to come back to me." You talk about sobering up really quickly. That night you just sobered up just like that. But that conviction, that weight, we talk burdens are lifted at Calvary. I felt the weight of my sin in my life. And that particular night, believe it or not, I was out with a group of folks, but also too, one of the group of folks was also one of the elder's sons as well. So that's the pastor's son and the elder's son from the same church, and there we were out on the town. And I was staying over at his house. We arrived back quite late. And his mother, whom I loved to bits, a godly, godly woman, was standing at the gate of her house. We had been out before and no one was waiting for us, but this particular night she was standing waiting for us. I was underage. My father is the pastor of the church, and she easily could have taken it to the church, and my dad would have had to leave the ministry in Rough Island. But I walked to the gate, and she just looked at me, and she just said this, "Jonathan, what are you doing with your life?" And I just said to her, "Well, listen, you don't know, but God has been speaking to me tonight. And I know I'm not right, and I need to get right." Through a conversation with her youth leader at that particular time, he said, "Come on, you and me are going for a walk out in the country." And he began to challenge me, and I just said, "Well, little do you know, but just before we've had this conversation, I give my life back to the Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive me for my mistakes. I knew I was already saved. It wasn't about getting saved again, but it was getting right with God again." What are you doing with your life? Is that you here tonight? What are you doing with your life? You see, it's easy to come in and look the part and act the part, but the thing is, God sees everything. And He knows if we're not in the right place. And here's the thing, sometimes people think that backsliding is whenever you go out to drink and go out to smoke and do all those things. Backsliding can be the simplest things where you've grown cold in your faith and you've lost that first love. After I gave my life back to the Lord, we were having a mission in Rough Island Baptist, and the speaker was Chuck Ebron. If you've ever heard that name before, if you don't, let me tell you who he was. He was an African-American who was a missionary in Ireland, still lives here to this day, who married a local girl from County Tyrone, outside Dungannon. He was 6'8", an ex-American footballer, and he came to do a mission in Rough Island. Not powerful. And Chuck was involved in an outreach team. He used to go outside all the different pubs and clubs and Bambridge at the coach, for example. He used to go to the Rose of Tralee Fair at the beauty pageant every year and do street evangelism. And when he heard I was back with the Lord, he rang me up one day and he said, "Johnny," and he's a sort of man you're afraid to say no to because he's a big guy. And I remember he said, "I want you to come with me in the team to Tralee." And I goes, "Well, how can I do that? What am I going to do there?" He says, "Don't you worry, I just feel you need to come." And he encouraged me to come. And I tell you this, I thank God for that experience. We were in the streets from 9 or 10 o'clock at night. That's when we started. And we used to come off the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning. You can imagine the environment we were in on the streets. But yet God was doing a mighty work on the streets. And that began my interest in street evangelism and being involved in the Lord's work in that sense. And it turned my life around. Young people, I'm sorry if you feel I'm giving you a hard time tonight. I hope and pray you can see my heart. Because I've been there, I've seen it, I've done it. And I'm ashamed. Are you struggling tonight? Are you feeling the pressure? It's easy to fall. By the way, any believer can fall. Read Galatians 6. Any believer can fall and sin. A pastor, an elder, a deacon, a member, any one of us. Doesn't matter how long we are in our faith. We can't lose your salvation because you're saved for time and for eternity, but we can certainly fall. It's easy to fall. It's easy to give in to sin, to give in to temptation. And that's at any age. Young people, can I encourage you tonight to continue to stand up and stand out for your Lord? And do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That prayer group that I mentioned, Rough Island Baptist, praise God. All the young people who were away from the Lord began to come back to the Lord. Because God began to deal with all of us. Praise God, folks, there's power in prayer. That's why I often said, I said in my own church, do not stop praying for that loved one who you've been upholding in your prayer for their salvation or for them to come back into fellowship again with the Lord. Please don't give up on them. I gave my life over to the Lord, and I'll tell you this, I was so enthused about my faith. And in the midweek, I used to love going to the Bible study. Can encourage you as well, young people, don't be afraid to go to the midweek. Don't be afraid to go to the prayer room. Go to the prayer meeting, because that's the powerhouse. And it's not just for older people. It's for all of us who are saved. We need to come together to pray. We need to come together to study the Word of God. And I can remember at Freedom Baptist that time. I loved going to the midweek. I loved going to the time of prayer, and I enjoyed it. And there was other young people as well. We began to go to the midweek, and we were having great times and a hunger for the Word. And you just wanted to be fed. You were hungry for the Word. And then you enjoyed the times of prayer. And my dad used to always encourage the other folks to give the young people an opportunity to pray in the prayer meeting. And it was such a blessing and such an encouragement. And on one occasion, and I'd said, Lord, look, and don't follow this example either. I just wanted to work when I was 16. I'd just done my GCSEs and walked out the door and went and got a job. And I looked at the local paper, The Outlook in Rough Island, and I never wanted to be a baker. But I'll tell you this, it was simple as this. The reason why I became a baker, became my trade, was I looked at the paper. There was two job opportunities. One was working in a shop, another one was working in the local bakery. And I knew two people who worked in the bakery, and that's how I decided to become an apprentice baker. That was simply all the thought that went into that. I wanted to join the Royal Air Force. That's another long story. But I didn't have much to offer. But I remember saying, Lord, here's my life. I'm willing to serve you and go wherever you would call me to go. My life is yours. If you want, take me and use me for your glory. Because I've wasted time. And here's my life. And I can remember, as I said, I had only a hunger for the Word of God. And then, on a particular occasion, there was a missionary speaker coming to the church. And my mum said, are you coming this Wednesday night? And I says, no. And she said to me, what do you mean, no? I says, we're not having a Bible study. We're not going to do an expository preaching. And we're going through a book. And I'm not going to listen to a missionary. I want the Word. And my mum said simply, son, maybe you'll enjoy hearing the missionary. Well, you know who the missionary was? He's no stranger to here. Evan Williams. He was a missionary with Acre Gospel Mission. He was serving the Lord in Lanzarote, and he came to speak at our church. And I can remember that night. I initially didn't want to go. I didn't want to hear a missionary. I wanted the Word, and Evan brought the Word, and then he talked about his ministry. And I can tell you this, the whole way through that meeting, I felt as if God was speaking to me. I've been going out to serve in Lanzarote. I didn't have Spanish. I didn't even know how that would be even possible, but I felt God was speaking to me. And afterwards, Evan finished the meeting and he said, I believe God's been speaking to someone in our meeting tonight about service. And I began to get a wee bit uncomfortable. That's scary. And then we had our time of prayer, and one of the deacons, he's now with the Lord, William McMullen, he said, Lord, I believe you've been speaking to one of our young people. And I opened my eyes in the middle of the prayer meeting. The Lord forgive me for doing that. And I looked around and there was four of us in the meeting. And I was getting scared again. I'm walking out the door. My wee mum just tapped me on the shoulder and said, son, God has called you tonight to the mission field. Well, Evan came back to her house that night, but I was afraid in case it got her wrong. I was only playing an emotion, and I didn't even want to speak to him, and I'd never said nothing, and I just went to my bed. And over time, with opportunity, and I prayed about it, and prayed about it, and prayed about it, and God began to show it through His Word, through conversations I had with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I took it to my elders, Graham Anderson, never forget, talking to Graham Anderson about it. I'm sure you know Graham Anderson, lay preacher, elder in Rough Island. And he took me out. They live out in Mays Corner between Rough Island and Banbridge. And he said, John, come on, you and me will go for a wee walk. And Graham being Graham, he says, I'll tell you what, see when we get to that gate, let's just stop and pray together and seek the Lord's face. And you know what? He got me to get down on my knees and pray right beside that wee road in front of that gate. I'm sure cars that went past wondered, what on earth's going on here? And my elder knew, and he had, without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord was calling. It wasn't until a year later an opportunity to go out and visit and help in children's ministry in Lanzarote and spend the time with Evan and Carmen, and I thank God for that time. But you know, I remember Evan saying, Jonathan, you want to come out in the mission field, you need to go to Bible college. And I remember I said, well, there's two colleges, what do I do? And I ended up applying for the Baptist College and got accepted and went there to study. and get the necessary qualifications there that was needed for missionary work and to serve the Lord. But while I was there, I didn't intend to go and find a wife over there, but the Lord had other plans. And when I met Carolina, the first time I seen her, I just fell in love with her. Love at first sight, it is possible. And I thought, boys and dear, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful. And I remember I was sitting with Carmen, and I looked round, and there was this beautiful girl sitting here, and she's sitting beside this man, and Carolina looked older than what she was, and Evan Williams, you believe it or not, he was always trying to pair off his young people. And Evan was very direct, and he would say, well, which one of our young people do you like? And I said, Evan, I'm here to do the Lord's work. I'm not here to look at other ones. And he used to wind me up. And then I remember talking to Carmen, doing the dishes up in the apartment. I says, Carmen, I says, you know that girl sitting behind, was that her husband? No. Oh, not her husband, no. Was that her boyfriend? She said, no. She not going out with anybody? No. All right. So she's single then? She's single. And then Carmen clicked. And then there's a bit of matchmaking went on. And then eventually, with not currently not speaking English and me not speaking Spanish, thank the Lord, my sister was able to translate letters that were sent. And also too, Marcus was able to indeed translate and ask Carolina out, and we got together. And I remember saying to Carolina on the first date with a wee pocket Spanish-English dictionary, and was walking down, and I said, I need to tell you something. I said, if you're looking for a man who's going to provide you a big home and all that status, it's not going to be me. I need to make that clear. I've given my life to serving the Lord. I've given my life to go anywhere in the world. And I probably can't never even have her own home. I said, I need to tell you that. And Carolina looked at me and she says, well, you know what? I've given my life over to serving the Lord too. Anywhere in the world, he'll call me to go. But then she said this. But I want to be a single missionary. The Lord had other plans. We get married in 1995 in Lanzarote. Evan Williams and my dad performed that ceremony together. Finished Bible college. Took a year out to go and get married and to get to know the language and the culture involved in the church. Came back. Finished Bible college. And then we went out as tent maker missionaries, as independents, out to Lanzarote in 1997. And we were there until 2001. And we felt the Lord had told us our ministry and the church had come to an end. And we came back. Came back looking to God. We knew the next step would be full-time ministry. Came back and done a lot of preaching around churches. And we're home for just about under 4 years. But during that time, we had the conversations before with GMSA and the Spirit of the Lord in Chile. And I remember we had met with Pauline English. And she said to us, she met with us in Shankill Baptist. That's where my dad was pastor. That's where I was a member. And she said, obviously God's calling you to Lanzarote. She says, but maybe it's not God's will for you now to go to Chile, but maybe it will be later. You are young. How long do you think you'll be in Lanzarote? I said, 5 to 10 years. She said, well, maybe it's not God's will now, but maybe it will be later. Will you promise me, if you ever come back from Lanzarote, will you give us a call? We hadn't spoke to Pauline, but we were at the Bangor Missionary Convention, and she was there in one of the stalls. And I remember I seen Pauline and went up to her, and I said, Lord, I pray that she remembers who I am. And she looked around and said, Jonathan, Shankill Baptist Church, Carolina, how are you? And she just nailed it. She said, straight away, she just said, right, it wasn't God's will back then. Maybe it's God's will now. Will you pray about going to Chile? And whenever you feel a no, yes or no, give me a shout. 6 months later, we felt God was calling us to go and serve the Lord in South America, in Chile, with Gospel Mission South America. And we went, and we were there from 2005 through to 2012. Pastored a church there, the Ramacruz Church, which Pauline had helped start and plant at the very beginning. And then we went to a church plant, Monteverde, which I mentioned this morning, which is still growing strong, which is now 15 years of age. I'm just looking at the clock. And time is gone. I have another couple of minutes and then it'll be 5:30. All I can say is I could tell you over and over of how many times God has intervened, how God has worked, how God has blessed. We have 2 children, never mentioned them. Our daughter Noemi is 26 and lives in London, going on with God, and we thank the Lord for that. Involved in a wee Baptist church there. Our son Timothy was going to be here tonight, but he's exhausted. He's just back. He's Antrim Grammar. He's in the SU committee, and they had an SU weekend down in Castlewell and Castle. And he just literally got home about 30 minutes before we had to turn and come back up the road here. And he's very tired, and I said to him about coming, he said, "Dad, I'm exhausted." I said, "Okay, son," because he's involved with Stephen Blair, and he's an elder in Ballyclare Baptist. He's a ministry called Shining Lights. It's a football coaching ministry, and Timothy's one of the volunteer coaches, and he's been working alongside Stephen, and he's very involved in our own church. And Timothy was just telling me, he said, 85 young people went to that weekend. 85 young people from a school in Antrim. And I said, "Son, well, how did it go?" He says, "Daddy, we were praying a lot." He says, "Yes, there were being the young people. They were mucking about and carrying on. He's exhausted, only got 3 or 4 hours sleep." But he said, "Daddy, it was brilliant." Listen, young people, I know you're going to have your meeting now, and you're going, "What's going on tonight? The preacher's giving us a hard time, and now we're going to go up and hear the word of God again." I know it's not easy to live for Christ in this world that we find ourselves in just now. But I want to encourage you to live up and live out for God. There's no telling what God will do in and through you. Are you willing to serve Him? Are you willing to give Him His life and say, give Him your life and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to be used by You. I want to be a light for You in this world of darkness." That's why I say in every church we need to pray for young people, because they have it hard today. There's a whole lot more persecution for believers than there was in my youth. And we need to be upholding our young people and encouraging them and letting them be young people. But I hope and pray we're an encouragement to them. I hope and pray we pray for them, because they need it. But maybe you're here tonight and you've never even thought or considered these things. Our closing hymn is going to be, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" And the Word of God is very clear, and it's not a popular thing to say today, but there's only two destinations. There's heaven, place of peace, joy and blessedness, where there's no more sin. Or lost eternity, hell. And whenever you look at Revelation, I'm not going to take time to do that just now, but it's very clear, it reminds us what the lake of fire is going to be like. And it's eternal punishment without end. It's eternal pain and torture without end. And we're told today, yes, preach the gospel, but don't mention hell. And there's some people only emphasize hell and forget about the heaven and the love of God, so the balances are all wrong. But the reality is, if we're here tonight and we know the gospel and we know the end of the people without Christ and what happens if they die and where they go, there's something wrong with us as a church, as God's people, because we have the message that they need to hear. We have that good news. We have that antidote to their sin problem. And that's Jesus. Where will you spend eternity? The question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Recently in our own church, we have a different folks who have died. Of course, because of old age and infirmity. And I've had quite a lot of funerals to take over the last while. But it's a whole lot easier to take a funeral where you know that the person who is no longer there, who's passed on, you know where they've went. Because we know who they put their trust in and who they believed in and who they were serving. Dear friend, if you're not saved here tonight, if God is speaking to you, can I encourage you? Can I challenge you to turn to Him? Repent and be converted. The word repent means to have a change of mind. And the word converted means, in the original, the New Testament, in the Greek, it means to do an about turn. Because if you're not saved tonight, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and you've turned your back, and you will die in your sin. But if you do an about turn and turn to God and cry unto God to save you, He will, because His arms are open wide, telling you to come. going to be a wonderful thing. If you're not saved here tonight, you'll be able to leave this building and say, I'm ready for eternity. I know where I'm going. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what will your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven shall their happy portion be. Where will you spend eternity? Leaving the straight and narrow way, going the downward road today, sad will their final ending be, lost through a long eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Today you have that opportunity to turn to God. I hope and pray that you will. And maybe if you're here and you're struggling and you know that deep down inside that maybe God is challenging you, burdening you, you feel that weight because you know that things aren't right. Get right tonight. Get back on track. Turn back to God. You know, when you think of Luke 15, I'm still trying to finish here and I'm still going on. Luke 15, you have about the lost coin, you have the lost sheep, and then you have the prodigal. You know what I love about the prodigal story, the bit that I love the most, is the father obviously was out every day looking for the son. And when he seen the son in the distance, not only was his arms open wide, but I love that phrase, that he ran towards him. I thank God that he convicted me to draw me back to himself again and for that relationship to be restored. And I have no regrets. Doesn't mean to say I don't have hard times and difficult times. All of us struggle at times. But I tell you this, I would not try to go through this life without knowing that God is close and I can turn to him and I'm in communion with him, because that is what and where you need to be. Let's have that opportunity to sing our closing hymn together and consider these words as we sing them together. Our daughter rang us yesterday. She's a friend group. There are Colombians, there's an Italian, and there's a man from, I'm not sure what country it is, in Africa, and they grew up together. And all came in from different countries, but because they're in the same neighbourhood and same school, they formed a friendship. And the two brothers, the two Colombian brothers, got gloriously saved at the same time. One was in Barcelona and one was in London, and the two brothers were really close. And they rang each other, and little did they know, but they were ringing to tell the same news. And I remember hearing the story, and I was blown away by it. They rang each other and said, "Brother, I have something to tell you." And he said, "Well, I have something to tell you. Will you go first?" "Okay." "No, will I go first?" "No, you." And they said, "I get saved." And he says, "Well, I don't. I've got saved." We just heard that the other member of that friend group, who's from a Muslim background, who's been watching messages online, who's beginning to go to the church of these two brothers, who know me and her, this friend group that she's got to know over the last while, and they've had many a conversation about the things of the Lord. And this guy's a very intelligent young man, and he just basically got in contact with him to say, he says, "I am now born again. I've realized I've been reading the Bible, and what the Bible says is true. And I know what I needed to do. I needed to come and put my trust in Jesus. And I want to let you know that's what I've done." God has done it before, he can do it again. God is still saving precious souls. Let's stand to sing, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" After hearing the musical introduction. Thank you.